The University of Detroit Mercy presents an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program. Today's show takes us back to March 2008.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we've got three people who could mush across the Yukon here in beautiful, snowy, northwest Detroit. So let me introduce the panel to you now. At the very far end of the table from the College of Engineering and Sciences, the person who organizes the pre-college engineering programs, it's Dan, our DAP Set Man Maggio. I'm glad you finally get to meet Karen Selby, our education chair.
She seems wonderful.
She is. She's terrific. And she can run a department like 10 men or 10 women. She's that good.
Enjoying the weather, too.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you like, because Erie.
I love snow.
You got hit with big snow in Erie being on the lake, right?
Yeah. If I was a courageous person, I would move to a snowy area.
Like where? Like
outside of Vancouver, maybe.
Ooh,
or
okay. Ooh, nice
just
choice.
Somewhere where there's basically, it's cold and wintry, like a lot of the year.
Colorado.
Yeah, I was going to say, there would be
Iceland
Minnesota.
Would be fun. Minnesota.
Norway.
Yeah, Minnesota, they get there just as hot in the summer as, you know, the Bahamas.
Is that true?
Sometimes.
It's only for a smaller period.
I
love Minnesota.
Dude, look at International Falls. They're always seem to be
true,
like they're
true.
Hitting
but
that.
They do peak
that
in the summertime. I go up there every summer. So
yep. Yeah, it's a nice spot. Mm-hmm. And sitting to my left from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Matt Mayo.
Hi, Kathy.
And you've had experience. You lived in Minnesota,
I lived
right?
In St. Paul.
There
for,
you go.
Woodbury outside St. Paul for mm-hmm. a few months, and then in St. Paul, it's great.
Yeah.
I called it Detroit Light, and I didn't mean that in a negative way.
No,
by way of their extended fall and extended
mm-hmm.
spring,
yeah.
I would say maybe they have 5 weeks of summer.
Maybe.
But they have a very long winter.
Yeah, I had a niece who did an internship for marketing and PR up at General Foods and loved it.
Sure.
Loved that. Both Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Very
great
eclectic.
Place.
Yeah,
totally eclectic.
But she said. But she also commented about the lack of summertime, which is like, okay, Maria, honey, don't worry about that. Now, on the other side of the table from the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Oljor.
Good to be here.
I know. Yes. Sorry, that was not good timing there.
All right. Stuffing my face.
That's all right. That's why you should do that in the wintertime. It just helps you get through with the snow shoveling and facing those cold winds, you know? What my grandmother called gut wadding. I don't know what that really meant, but it sounded pretty cool. It sounded like a good reason to eat, that kind
I like
of thing.
That.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go home and tell Drew you have plenty of gut wadding.
Don't tell him the stories. Okay. Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about weather, about Minnesota, about snow, about gut wadding, whatever you want to send us. And if you stump the panel, you win one of our two fabulous shirts, either a Tech Day or Ethics Bowl 2007 shirt. And if you don't stump the panel, you still get the shirt. So hook it up, get the shirt, and send us some questions. And you can do that in a variety of ways. You may email me, that's bushkt@udmercy.edu, or to our website, which is www.udmercy.edu/ATP for Ask the Professor. You may even fax the professor at area code 313-993-1266, or care of the U.S. Postal Service, being the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road in Detroit, Michigan, 48221. And our last show, we were leaving off, we had just a few more questions left. These were questions that came to us from Harry Carpenter. And these were questions that Harry had used at the quiz at the local bar. Yeah, he doesn't think our educational system is succeeding.
Gotta agree with him there.
Well, you know, there's some ups and there's some downs. So there was two questions left, and he wanted to get 8 out of 10. And so far, you only have 2 wrong. So you better get these next 2 right, or else he wins. All right,
80%.
Okay.
So we're running at 80%.
We're running at 80% now. Even I can do that.
Takes the extent of my math ability right there.
That's okay. You extended it as far as it needed to
That's
go,
right.
my friend. Okay. Who replaced Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live after he left?
Bill Murray.
Yes, you got that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Harry notes here that after working in Los Angeles with a guerrilla video commune, called TVTV. Murray rose to prominence when he replaced Chevy Chase on the program. Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about him is that he's now become like a serious actor.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, in some ways he has.
I mean, his performance in Charlie's Angels was really just spectacular.
I believe you're referring, Beth, to like Lost in Translation.
Which I haven't seen, but Rushmore. I hear is a great...
Yeah, Rushmore, which I thought was amazing.
Razor's Edge, I think, was the first movie I saw.
That was an old Tyrone Power film. That's a remake of a 1940s film. Hmm. And it seemed like people weren't willing to accept him as a serious actor at that point. I think they still wanted him to do his shtick from like...
Caddyshack,
yeah.
Well, that is truly a landmark performance.
Yes. Yeah, it is funny. That's true enough. It is classic. But, you know, everybody has the right to break out in a different way.
And can't you just see Dr. Lever dressed up for Halloween as Carl?
Yeah, I can. And that's like hysterical. He did that?
Little gopher sewn to his shirt on his shoulder. My wife claims to have photographic evidence of this. I want proof.
Oh, that's funny.
I not only want proof, I want publication of those photos. I think that's only fitting.
Because he does the best impersonation of Bill Murray in that role. It's so funny.
Well, another Chicago boy. There you go. He's got the accent down. And our last question from Harry is, who was the first NFL rusher to gain 2,000 yards in a single season?
Oh, man. Walter Payton.
No.
Mercury Morris.
Don't you wish, because I just love Mercury
Gale
Morris.
Gale Sayers.
No. Sadly.
It's not Barry, is it?
No, not Barry. I wish we could only wish. B.S. Barry Sanders from the Lions.
O.J.?
It's O.J. Simpson.
There we go.
Yes, it is. In 1973, Simpson rushed for the then record 2,003 yards, becoming the first player to ever pass the 2,000-yard mark.
It was a long time before it was Barry that beat that record. First time.
Yep.
I want to say early 90s for the mm-hmm. win, something like that.
Well, so were you bummed about the Super Bowl that the Patriots? I was really surprised.
I was dead
way
surprised.
It turned out.
Again, my real hope truly had been that the Pack would have made it in. But, you know, when the Pack didn't make it in, I thought, okay. But my uncle in New York was so happy, he called everybody. He must have ran up like a $9,000 phone bill. He called every niece, everybody.
I was pretty happy for you. I mean, that play, you know, that where he managed to escape the sack and Tyreek, you know, that catch where it looks like he's breaking his spine.
Thank
as he
you.
Goes, ooh.
Yeah.
Pushes it against his head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a really tight game. It was an interesting game. I thought it was like, oh, this is going to be dead boring. And, you know, Dan, did you like the commercials?
I watched the end. And I got to tell you, who's
Tom
the coach
Petty
of the
was
Patriots?
Awesome.
Who's what?
Bill Belichick?
That he left the field before it was over.
Very
unprofessional.
Talk
about bad sportsman.
No. But Drew said that Belichick didn't think they were going to actually make him do a play to run the clock
out. There was another rumor that said he didn't even know that time hadn't expired.
Oh,
so,
come on. The guy's a head coach for the NFL and doesn't know that time's expired.
Because if you don't know what's going on and you're at that level.
Yeah. But the timer had run down to zero and they put 1 second back on.
But the best part was they interviewed him like right after they gave it his cutting out of the locker room. I love it.
It was uncomfortable than watching the office.
You look so unhappy.
Oh, and at every press conference, he's so... I mean, if I were the owner of the Patriots, awkward. I would be just like, get me somebody with some PR ability
here.
Dude,
take a Dale Carnegie course. Something, hook it up.
I mean, he has the personality of wet sand.
Yeah, he does.
You know, yeah.
Great coach.
I think on the Today Show, there was a comment made by Meredith Vieira.
Oh, no.
She said, even though I never watch those morning shows... Because Malcolm in the Middle is on at the same time, and that gets private.
There we go. Let's go to the important stuff.
She goes, I wonder if, who's Giselle?
Giselle Bundchen.
I wonder if Giselle left with Eli.
Oh, my goodness me.
There's the way she said it, everybody goes,
ooh. I bet. Well, Harry, we'll send you out a non-winners package, but nevertheless, we like those. And
those are great questions. Send more of those.
Holy great. Those are wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Our next set of questions comes to us from Michael Whalen of Milford, Michigan. Now, sadly, he just does not give us any kind of grading scale, which we got to start asking
we
folks.
We do three quarters, right?
D is passing.
75%.
D is passing.
Do we agree on 75% or 70%? 70% is too generous.
I don't give A's. I don't give A's until 95%.
There's like
all right, we'll use the Beth scale.
Okay, I was going to say that's it. Like
the
hang
really
it up.
Hard grading scale. Yeah.
That's true. Because college is supposed to be hard.
Well,
hello?
As much help as I give them, they should.
Well, there you go. Okay. Well, these are just categorized under amusing facts, and he says, have fun with them.
Cool.
So I can handle
I'm
that.
I'm laughing already.
Well, yeah. Well, some of them are
just
okay.
Sitting across the table from Matt.
Now, some of these are true
funny
and false,
looking.
Which are kind of interesting, but true or false, it's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open.
True.
Okay.
True.
Yeah.
That true. Is, I think that's true.
It is true. Yeah. I guess
that's
I never
weird.
Thought about
really
sneezing
weird.
With my eyes open.
Maybe we can experiment.
I was going to say a break.
You hold
let's
my
get
eyes
some.
Open and I'll sneeze.
I mean, got a pretty
well, but haven't you? I mean, you're driving, and of course you're
right,
wanting
right,
to keep your
right.
eyes on the road. And
yeah.
See, there's no way when
that's
you
right.
have to sneeze, you're going to blink for.
Reminds me of an old Calvin and Hobbes cartoon where he wanted to hold his nose shut to see if his shoes would blow off. It was
I love
successful.
That cartoon.
Or his head would explode, right?
Yeah. Okay, true or false, you cannot kill yourself by holding your breath.
True.
True.
I'd say that's true.
You're right. You can't do it. Right. I mean, I'm trying to imagine
involuntary about
death
that.
By holding your breath suicide. I'm just trying to like imagine that.
It's an autonomic response.
Yeah,
right?
Isn't it? I thought that was like, yeah.
You'll go coma first, I think.
And then I think your hand would relax.
Yeah.
And then move away from your face.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the strongest muscle in the body? Strongest muscle in the body.
Well, the biggest is the gluteus.
Right, but
so.
That's not it. I thought let's
not,
go by size. But
gotta be some abdominal muscle, I'm thinking.
Strange but true. That's not what it says here. I thought for sure you were thinking,
the
jaw?
The jaw?
It's somewhere close to the jaw.
Eyes? Eyelids?
Mm-mm. Hmm.
Is it a face muscle?
It's located inside of the facial muscles.
Your
esophagus.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
No, that's too low.
Too low.
Oh,
your nose.
Tongue.
It is. It's
oh,
the tongue.
Right. It's strongest muscle.
Weird.
That's what it's listing.
Know it was a muscle.
Really?
I think it is a muscle.
It is a muscle. It is classified as a
covered
muscle.
With skin.
Okay.
Ooh.
Every time you lick a stamp, you actually are burning up a calorie. What percent of a calorie do you burn up by licking a stamp?
Of a calorie? I
of
would
a calorie.
Say 10%.
You got it right on the nose.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Well, but the other thing you can do is you can not move your tongue and just move your hand. Does that still count?
Well, I guess then what, would you be burning up some kind of muscle with your
in
finger,
your
with your pincher reflex or
yeah.
something
or you
in that way?
Or you can get peanut to...
I was going to say get your cat to do it.
Do they make lickable stamps?
I was going to say, I haven't seen a lickable stamp.
I know I haven't seen them either, but the envelopes, just ask George Costanza's ex-fiance.
Oh, that's right. They bought those really cheap wedding
really
invitations.
Funny.
Didn't she die
she died.
From that?
Yes, because she poisoned herself on the invitation.
Oh.
Only in that show.
That episode that was so horrible.
And then they just said, she died. Oh, okay, what are you going to do? Go home, watch TV.
Yeah, it was like he totally didn't care. You're right. Now, speaking of calories, how many calories an hour would you burn up by banging your head against a wall? I'm not kidding you. I don't make them up, folks. I just read them as we
is
get them.
Is it in the hundreds?
It is over 100.
Okay.
It's over 100.
175.
That's a little high.
Okay. Awesome.
150.
Right on the nose, folks.
Weird.
I don't know if I want to give that out for like extra credit for my history class or something.
It's an overlooked form of exercise, banging
your
head
against
a wall.
Whenever there's data, by the way, the experiment has been run at some point.
I know, but I'm just thinking of how you set up what's the hypothesis, and then like I'm
weird.
Just how that got set up is just sort of fascinating to me. The human heart creates enough pressure while pumping to squirt blood how many feet?
Oh, quite a ways.
12.
That's low. I'm, again.
More like 30.
It is 30, right on the
what
nose.
What
disgusting.
Well, huh?
I mean, come on. You did the CSI
course.
I know, so think about arterial spray.
Well, the spray is a big deal when it comes to
so it's
gonna
go
guns and stuff like that. It's, oh, that's horrid. It's just horrid.
You
should
send
the thought of it.
Mythbusters and
Mythbusters.
Let them disprove it.
I mean, that's why you, if you're... jugular
right,
vein is
right.
severed, you're going to bleed out really, you're going to die really fast because
your
heart will be pumping all this
blood out, yeah. You know, that's pretty tough stuff that way.
I liked CSI Detroit.
I don't like blood, so.
Well, who dies? I mean, outside of the Red Cross, okay?
Vampires?
vampires. Yeah, I mean, there is that kind of thing
special
in that
effects,
sense.
Guys.
On an average, people fear this more than they do death.
Oh, public speaking.
No.
Flying.
Heights.
Oh, come on. Those are the top
Those seem to be the tops. I know.
Any spiders?
Spiders.
Oh.
Word. I mean, come spiders. On.
That's what it, that's really? What the, that's well, what it says here.
As long as they're smaller than a quarter.
See, that's the thing. It's always relative. Like, I can handle the little guys. I'm like,
yeah.
get out of
yeah,
here.
Right.
And if something came at me through the door, I'd be like, all
the
right.
Centipedes.
Nasty.
I'm out of here.
Nasty.
Snakes.
I
love
so
snakes.
Much. I hate bugs.
Yeah, there's
snakes
just
not a problem.
You know, it's a common annoying housefly. When we were kids, I remember the nuns used to teach us that there was a purpose for every one of God's creatures. And I would want to always say, what about houseflies?
Except for that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sister. I just don't buy into that. I mean, maybe that was when God was, like, being funny or something, but...
No, that was the duck-billed platypus.
Yeah, that's true. But it
shows
just,
that God has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Filling in a niche.
Yeah, really. Whoa. But, yeah, I just... Bugs, as you say, man, it's all to do with the size of them, you know? I don't really... The small ones, who cares?
No. Okay. Any if it's a spider or an insect of any kind, even... I mean, they all get killed in my house. I realize they perform an important function in nature.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They do. Oh, yeah.
But they don't they perform do. Any but, function
but
in my house.
But do houseflies? I mean, bees, yes. You know, pollen, I'm totally down
bees
with that.
Yeah, don't touch bees.
Yeah, don't touch the bees, man. Leave them alone.
Well, if I get stung by one,
oh, that's
it's
right.
not good. So
yeah, same
I'm
with,
killing them.
Yeah, that's okay.
No.
But killing them could, you could get the result that you're looking. Mm. You're not looking mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. Because if you miss them, they could get mad. Generally, bees are docile if you just leave them
alone. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. This whole
and
thing
I'm trying to teach myself that when I'm, like, messing around my garden
yeah.
and not running from the bees. And I just, I didn't, and everything was fine.
You'll begin to peacefully coexist with them.
Peaceful.
Well, then it makes
bee-sy.
Sense, right?
Okay, the true or false, polar bears are right-handed.
First,
apparently
they'd be
right-handed.
Are they
hand?
Second,
yeah.
They're ambidextrous, dang it. False.
False.
They list here that bears are left-handed, that they prefer to go to objects with their left
arm. You know,
oh, okay.
That is one of the like the ultimate unsolved problems in biology about differentiation
yes.
right in the left side
thank
of the body.
Thank you, I know.
Weirdness, totally weird.
Yeah, I never knew that they really had a preferred hand to like fish with
for
or
whacking the
whack
human
and,
being's
yeah.
head off or something.
Right, I mean, I'm just thinking
yeah, but they're
like,
cool, so they chose the left hand.
So is that it?
They're all sinister.
I guess, but hey, I just never really...
I'm a lefty.
I never really thought
it's
of that.
It's just the Latin word.
Okay. But while we think about that, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Live on tape from my dining room, the University of Detroit Mercy presents...
Unplugged.
If we don't get this on the air pretty soon, we'd be too far in the bag to do
I'll
it.
I'll tell you, this is amazing. Yes, the world tour continues and didn't get any farther than this. So.
Hey, this is a great place to be.
Anyway, here we are. The University of Detroit Mercy prevents Asser Professor.
As if they could. Try as hard as they might.
Successive generations of administrations have
tried and they failed.
And we're
that's
still
right.
here and they're gone. What were their names?
I don't know. What are their names now? Who cares?
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from March 2008, featuring the late Professor Kathy Bush as moderator.
With questions from Michael Whalen, and we were just talking about left-handedness. And go ahead, Beth, tell the story.
Well, that's the reason that I actually ended up with good handwriting was because of my pig-headedness. When my teacher in fourth grade told me, "You will never write neatly because you're left-handed," and my attitude, of course, whenever anyone told me I couldn't do anything, especially at that age, was, "Well, I'll show you."
And so, you do, because you truly have writing that, again, you look like you could teach elementary school.
And I don't write with a hook.
Script. Right.
I turn the paper at a really funny angle.
Okay.
It freaks out Dave Kokel whenever he's like, "Why do you have the paper turned that way?"
Well, I got to ask Matt, you must know Dave McCall.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
And
sure,
Dave
sure.
McCall was my former debate partner at the old
Are
University
you kidding
of Detroit.
Me?
And I had to learn, Dave was the leader of the left-handed revolution, and he writes from left to right and can do, yes. And
wow.
can do it quickly. So we'd be in a debate
right.
round,
he
and he would be writing
me
notes.
Right to left.
Right to left. He's left-handed, and that's how he writes.
Did he used to be in the College of Engineering and Science? Did
Actually, it's interesting you bring that up, because just this term, we rehired him. It's not like he's been gone, but he's retired from whatever he was doing, and he's back teaching again.
Oh, that's sweet.
Isn't that weird?
Because Ken Hill was telling me about a faculty member who wrote that way.
He was also one of the few. Part of the thing about the left-handed revolution was that desks in lecture halls, like our life sciences, he raised a huge stink and got desks for left-handed students in there. Because he said he had the hardest time sitting or writing his examinations, trying to maneuver himself to write. So Dave went all the way up to the president's office to lead this movement to get left-handed. So I made it this vow that every year that we were debate partners, I would find something from the left-hand shop in New York City to get for him, because I was so inspired by somebody that could do that. And he actually taught me how to read without taking out a pocket mirror. I was able to read his notes and evidence, and I got so used to it.
Yeah, wow, that made my amazing. When I was an undergraduate, that was a nightmare being in the big lecture halls for biology.
And that's what he said. He was fed to the teeth, and he went ahead and did something about it.
That's so
I do admire Dave-O.
It's discrimination.
It truly was. That's what he said. True or false, right-handed people live 9 years longer than left-handed people do.
Oh, false.
False.
True.
It's true. At least according to... Now, again, who puts together these studies?
There can't be any causal connection between...
Actually, I'm going to disagree, because not everybody is as strong and courageous as Professor Oldjar is, and maybe stress adds to shorter lifespan.
Could be.
What if you had to live in a right-handed society?
Yeah.
I do have to live in a right-handed society. What are you talking about?
That came out wrong.
Yeah, okay, but I had to live in a left-handed society.
Probably my head would have exploded several years ago.
No.
That's wild.
But again, I'm wondering from a social science perspective, how do you set up these experiments?
Yeah, that's
I want to know how you gather
and what's
this
the
data.
What is the causal connection between handedness and lifespan? I just don't...
Stress. I bet it's stress.
We know how debilitating stress is.
Yeah.
On every cardiovascular, everything in that way.
That's why I have to take a leave next year, because I'm left-handed.
There you go. Left-handed leave.
Pause for concern.
Okay. What part of the body?
Because you're right with your left hand, and it's your heart's on your left side. Are you exercising your heart?
But you'd think that would be more exercise, eh?
Yeah,
I have the heart of a rhino, as Drew Barrymore said in Charlie's
there
Angels.
There you go. True or false? Butterflies taste with their feet. Their sensation
true.
Of
That's
taste.
That's true.
It is true.
Did they ask them?
Well, no, I think, you know.
That's true. I've
they gave him the Cola Wars thing, and they stepped into it.
There you go. That worked from that way. Ants are known as extremely strong little creatures. Mm-hmm. How many times of their own weight can an ant
50.
Lift?
Oh, like 300 times.
50.
50?
Dan, did you know that? Oh.
Yes. There's a little weevil. No, boll weevil.
Yeah, right? Boll weevil did, yeah.
A bug. It's like armored with big claws. It can lift, like, I want to say 450 times.
Come
the
on.
Strongest animal, you know, with respect to their size.
Weird.
On the planet. If I can dig this up, I'll bring it in next
Please
time.
Do, because, you know, they're the ones that killed the whole cotton crop down south, and, like, poor people, the poor sharecroppers, and all,
but
Lord
it's,
have mercy.
It's like in that family. Let me look it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I would be interested.
But it was on the animal planet. They were doing, like, the strongest animals, and it was just amazing.
I want to know about weak animals. I'm down with those weak animals.
A kitten. Can
That's that. Right. I don't want any pit bulls, Chase. I want some weak kind of animal that
so
way.
So if anybody quotes me, let me look that up.
How many days can a cockroach live without its head?
As many as it wants, if it was in my student housing unit in Seattle.
I mean, if the answer is one or greater, we're all doomed.
I would say 2 minutes like everybody else.
Mm-mm. It's days, folks. Anybody willing
without
to
its head.
14 days.
That's a little much.
Okay, well.
3 days.
Like I said.
That's a little low.
A week.
Does it
it's
grow
nine
back?
Days.
Really?
It says the reason is because it would starve to death after the ninth day.
So it's still going.
It's
basically.
Still going. It keeps a licking and keeps on ticking.
So there's no.
If only Greg.
But
were
if
here.
There's no.
I know. I was
thinking. Yeah, you can explain that. Connect. Yeah. How does that?
Because don't you need your brain to direct your body?
I
functions?
Don't think that's the way that exoskeletal
yeah.
animals
yeah.
work.
I don't.
So.
Yeah. It's
oh,
not
okay.
the same as humans right. in that sense. But I thought it might be 4 or 5 days. The
that's
cockroaches
so
I lived
biology.
With in New York City could call their own taxis. So it was like, okay, I could. I would have said like a week, but 9 days is kind
of. I know
scary
some of the
to
ones
me.
That I killed when we were in student housing yeah, in Seattle were like came back later. on me. It was like a Stephen King story.
Oh,
sometimes
no.
they come back.
How many times its body length can a flea jump? This is an incredible tumble.
I would say a little flea could jump 3 feet.
So no, this is how, yeah, okay.
A little
yeah.
flea is about a quarter of an inch.
So you're doing this mathematically.
So 48.
50?
1,200.
1,200 times its body length?
Yeah.
That's a little high.
Wait, how did okay.
So like 500?
48 times.
450, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
450.
So it says that is like
closer.
A flea is about a quarter of an inch or less.
Maybe less.
Yeah, maybe so less. Thought, they're tiny. That's the problem with the little buggers.
If you jump a foot, that would be 48 times.
Okay.
Its length. So.
Huh.
Wait a minute. You said 400. Yeah, okay. I get it. Yeah.
He notes that this is like a human being jumping nearly the entire length of a football field. That's so again, I'm just kind of boggled by, you know, the visual of that.
They should get fleas in the long jump at the Olympics.
I mean, or something like that. This is the one thing a crocodile cannot stick out of its mouth. What is it?
Its tongue?
Yeah. That's a weird question, but I'm just trying to imagine a crocodile tongue. That'd be nasty.
Well, it's probably attached to that lower jaw.
Jaw, that's
that
it.
They can't,
yeah. That was the one thing that scared me about golfing in Florida. The signs
Crocs.
Were like, well, yeah, that, you know, my sister said, by the way, when we go on this course, if a ball goes like into the rough, worry about it. Leave it. She said, you don't want to be sticking your hands into this and this and this and this. I'm like, why? She said, because of the gators. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, there's, you know, wildlife on this course. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I was so freaked out the whole time on the course. Like, yeah, I should have watched those bad episodes of
Miami Vice.
But yeah, some things like that. What is the only animal that cannot jump? And I think by this they mean mammal that cannot jump.
At least well, I'll whales take it are from mammals, the and they can't
yeah,
jump.
Yeah, I was going to say. So let's say land mammals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is such a huge. I was going to say, what the?
Well, I mean, the first guess is to go big, like an elephant.
You're right. That's it.
Oh.
They say elephants are the only, lists here, animals that can't jump. But as you say, Beth, the mammals are, it's a whale.
Or dolphin.
Do they dive, though? Do, like, whales, can they, like...
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's count their that jump thing. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I was going to say penguins.
But they're not mammals.
No. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're right.
Oops.
Dan, were you hatched?
Dan, you're thinking of Happy Feet.
March of the Magios.
Oh, that's
I couldn't remember. Do they jump?
Watch out for the
They
beak.
Do jump out of the water.
They dive, yes.
They do dive,
they
and
do
then
dive.
They kind of jump when they come back up.
I agree, actually.
Yeah.
They propel themselves up.
On an ostrich, this part of their body is bigger than its brain.
The rest of it.
this particular
feature?
Feature.
The eyes.
It's the eyes. You're absolutely right.
Gross.
Well, they do. I mean.
Well, they're ugly.
The bird brain. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Right. You know, I know that expression is so true biologically, you know, it's just kind of.
Turkeys are dumb.
Turkeys, my father, I don't know if this is true or not, but he told us this as kids, that turkeys could actually drown in it when it was raining, that they would look up and they would drown.
Because they're so stupid.
They're so stupid.
They're really, really
they're
stupid.
They're dumb, like, beyond. He used to say they're dumb as dirt. And and he had a great aunt that raised turkeys. And he said that some of them, if there was a big rainstorm, that they'd had to go out to shoo them in because they would just stand out there with their beaks open and they would, like, drown out in the rain. Oh, but we have to stop there on that happy thought. Professor Maya.
Oh. Why does it always come back to turkeys?
I know. Why? Professor Maggio.
Oh,
thanks.
And Professor Oljar.
See you next week.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies Department studios on the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, and everything else connected to it is done by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush.
Matt Mayo and the current panel of UDM professors are back next week to begin a brand new season of Ask the Professor. So please plan to join us.